Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is the 19th of September. Can you believe it? We are already at the 19th of September. It is a Tuesday, we're into the week, and we have a show that takes us back to the forks in the road of our life. There's something that we forget, and we forget it a lot. It's an easy thing to forget, and sometimes we just get too busy in life to remember that we have choices. We think that at times, once we've made a decision, that's it. We made the decision. We can't change our minds. We're not allowed to change our minds. We're not in a place to change our minds. And what happens to us is that we take into account the other people or the situation before we take ourselves into account. We're to the point where we feel like, my God, you know, I already said I would do this. I've done it. I've been honest, I've tried, I've worked, I put the time in. But now, let's say the situation turned out to be something that's taking us down a road where we're not comfortable. We want to be more comfortable than we are, but we're just not comfortable. Maybe the person isn't as close to us as we thought. Maybe they're not putting in their amount of work. Maybe, you know, we jumped in, never asked questions, and we put ourselves in a position just to do things for someone, realizing that person isn't even near reciprocating. So now you have to, you're forced to reassess your situation. You're forced to take a look at it in another way because there is no energy exchange enough to keep that situation going. Maybe you're working a job, it ended up being more hours, which at first the pay sounded great if you were working a 40-hour work week. But let's say you get in and now you're working 50 and 60 hours and you're on the same salary. What do you do? Well, of course, you talk, you try to solve the issue. You say, hey, you know what? I'm actually working a job and a half for this same money. And in this case, it's not working out. Is there something you can do to accommodate that extra time? Now, if they can't, and let's say you left there and you can work another job and a half somewhere else and get paid for a job and a half, get paid for the 40 plus the extra time, then you can like reassess, go back to the fork in the road, make a different decision. Or if you just want to work a 40-hour week, you go to another company that allows you to just work that time because you have little kids at home or something like that. But most of the time, where we get stuck is in relationships where we don't go back to the fork in the road. If you're a parent, sometimes you have to go back in the fork in the road when you're dealing with your children. You might have given too harsh of a, a reaction when you were upset, to say things lightly, or when you're, you know, trying to give them rules as a teenager or something like that. And what I did was when my kids were in that age was I told them, I may say no right away because it may sound so weird to me to think of you doing that, but I'm not used to thinking of you doing those things or you being that age or you being that old. But I'd tell them, you know, if you have a good enough, you know, reason and you come to me and you can explain that to me, I will see about changing my mind on the kind of decision I make. Because most of the time I'm reacting to something I already know. I'm not sure. I don't know who you're going with. I don't know the circumstances. But when you tell me you want to stay out till midnight and you turned 14 years old yesterday, I'm not going to be real excited about that. In my mind, nothing good happens after 11. If you're out after 11, I'm worried. And I won't be able to sleep. I won't be able to deal with it. But if you tell me and you come back, you find out mom, their dad are going, somebody's going, wherever you are, you have to be out that late and there's other circumstances around it. And I feel like you're safe and I can sleep, which I probably still wouldn't, but I can try. We're going to be okay. I'll be okay with that. But going back to the fork in the road gives us a perspective of where we've been, where we can possibly be, and go in our lives over and over again. That should be the first option on everything we do. Okay, I'm going to try this. I will assess it. If I find in it that things work out for me, I'll keep going. And if I find out that I'm feeling more uncomfortable than comfortable along the way, especially in dating someone new, this is huge. Because a lot of times we say a lot of stuff in the beginning, and then we feel like we can't go back and say anything else. We can't change our mind. Nothing can be different because we feel like, but I already said, in the first meetings in those situations are so powerful that people get scared to do anything different. Sometimes, you know, when I'm working with people and they say to me things like, believe it or not, things like, but we always did it that way. But why did you always do it that way? Well, we did it that way from the beginning. Were you happy from the beginning doing it like that? Yes. I didn't mind giving that kind of time. It was new and we were learning. But as things settled and we knew each other better, I can't afford to spend that much time, let's say, at her house or his house, or just like a job. Sometimes once you get in, you end up spending a lot more time, but then you go off balance. But then the other person expects it. You feel bad to say something. You feel like they think now you're pulling back, but really what you're doing is just trying to reclaim your time. So how do you go back to that fork in the road and say that without you feeling bad, which is why most people don't change their mind. And they stay doing it, and they try to work everything around it till they burn themselves out. When something is not working, when do you acknowledge that it's not working or grow towards it? How do you know where to be or not to be, and what tells you which way to go and which way to grow? How do you go back to the fork in the road? Because that's the biggest question, is going back. Thing is in the beginning, when you meet someone, this is where experience kicks in. This is where learning kicks in. This is where hearing something kicks in. Say, this works great for me for now. In a month or two, we'll see how this works out. If we need to make adjustments, we can. From the beginning. Because when you talk like that, you allow yourself the wiggle room that you need to go forward. Because you don't know enough to know what you're getting into. You may be excited about the new job because you haven't been able to find the job you wanted for a while. So you can't see past the fact that you just got offered the job. And in that day, you may be willing to take anything. But we forget that it's also our right. It's not something you cram down the interviewer's throat or anything like that, but you have the right to interview the company. Once you get the job, but before you leave the office or the conversation with the person, ask them, what is my day-to-day like here? What does that entail? Do we usually work overtime? Do we ever get sent home early? What can I expect in the environment? Do people usually get to go to lunch on time? Should I bring lunches? Can I go out for lunches? And start asking about the cultural dynamics of the company. Look around on your way in. Do people look happy? Does the boss or the person you're talking to look happy that they're there? You can even, depending on how comfortable you are, ask them. Sometimes they'll tell you, how long have you been here? What do you like best about this company? Because I'm really excited about starting here. But ask, because what happens is that energy exchange already is growing between you and the person interviewing you, especially if it's for their department. And when we meet someone, I know we're excited. We say, oh, I haven't dated anyone for a while, or oh, I didn't do this, or oh, I didn't do that. You meet someone, you're so excited, you just, you know, give away the farm. You've been there for 10 minutes. But after you do that, just keep in mind, you know what? I know we're older now. I know we don't know each other yet. As we get to know each other, let the person earn love and the trust. It's not a test. It's just let them earn it. Because in the beginning, we don't know somebody. And we jump in with both feet. And then 2 weeks later, we're like, oh, why didn't I know that? Why didn't I ask that question? What's wrong with me? Why do I keep doing this? That's what happens. And then you feel bad. You feel like you've made a mistake and now you don't know what to do and you get that sinking feeling. Or you feel them pulling away and you don't know that they do that all the time. That they are great in the beginning and not very good right after. You don't know how long their average relationship is. Some people will tell you, I usually last about 4 years, 5 years, 7 years. They're not going to be any longer with you because they've already built by now a rhythm of how they come in, what they do, how quickly they include the other person, and then they start excluding slowly. And then you start thinking, what's wrong? But you don't know that that's what they do all the time. So now you have to go back in the fork in the road and try to reassess with all this new information what's going on. And you feel bad and you think something's wrong with you, but you don't know that that's just how they do it. Some people are really great at getting men or women into their lives, but they can't keep them. Some people are real clumsy in the beginning, but they stay forever. That's why I always say, and I know Christ says it to me all the time, the faster you go in is the faster you're going to come out. Even if you don't physically come out right away, you will mentally, because no one can know each other that fast. There wasn't time to build trust. There wasn't time to build that kind of bond that only comes with experience. And it's easy to jump in because we want everything to feel special. So that fork in the road that you need to reevaluate, reclaim, rejuvenate, it gives you space to breathe in any situation you put yourself in. Because if you don't allow for that in your mind, in your life, that, you know what, this is how I feel today, but I feel this way today because this is what I know now. But what if you run into a situation where you're dating somebody? Because we already know a job, it might be too many hours, it might be a manager that nobody can take, and then that department of that company, there's a turnover rate that's unbelievable, and you find that out after you get in there, and you're like, oh, no wonder they were so happy to have me. But you know what? I'm going to make the best of it. No one could be that bad. But if things aren't okay, I am not going to let myself get abused or used or screamed at. So you give yourself like this comfort of knowing you know what's going on in your own life. And let's say you know, part of your plan, if you go back to the fork in the road, would be to look at other departments in the company, because now you have this information. If things don't work out, they'll already know I'm a hard worker. They already know I'm already here. I'm already an employee. They don't have to go through hiring costs or firing costs or leaving costs. All of that would be a plus for them to take me from this department to another department. That's a great, go back to the fork in the road. Think about what you're doing. But do it earlier on, because we are very reactive and we wait until we can't take it anymore. And then we're like, I have to leave. Because we're too scared to say, I want to leave. So we wait until we have to leave. I've seen that. It's the saddest thing I've seen, and I've been able to abort it when I get involved early enough into the situation. But a lot of the time, somebody, like in a marriage, may not want to be there anymore. They may feel that, you know, we've dealt with a lot of stuff. I'm really tired. I don't know how to recover. But they don't say anything. They've gone back to the fork in the road, but they don't share the fact that they've gone back to the fork in the road. So they stay. They know that they're tired. They know that the other person, the arguments, the alcohol, the whatever came between them, most of the time, believe it or not, it was alcohol. And one doesn't drink and one does. And they're dealing with these issues. And one says, I don't even know who this person is anymore. And I come home from work and, you know, it's already on and I'm getting screamed at for walking in the house, and makes decisions to leave, but they're too scared to leave to admit that they really want to go. So they're not allowing themselves to go back to the fork in the road, but their actions now. Now they're like picking a fight or creating an argument so that they can get the other person so mad that they can say, that's it, I'm leaving. So it's almost like they set the stage. But the scary part is they did not even realize they were doing that, because the arguments they were starting were coming from their own frustration. But it also came from even a deeper layer. And that deeper layer was that they knew they couldn't stay, but they felt like they were abandoning them to leave. These are couples that have been together 20 plus years, 30 plus years. But when those things change, they never ever thought of going back to the fork in the road. They realized that the drug or the alcohol were way more important than they were. And now they felt like they didn't know who they were dealing with, because the person they were dealing with wasn't there anymore, mentally or emotionally. They went, said, let's try to get help. They did everything they could. The other person just was in denial. Went through friends, tried to get help through friends, went through facilities, tried to get help through facilities. Till things get so bad that now that's why you left. Because going back to the fork in the road is so scary. Because it's saying, I'm reassessing. And we're not used to being individuals when we are part of a peer or part of a company. We're just not used to being ourselves. Yet when we are ourselves, every relationship we have is richer, is fuller, is more beautiful, is more caring, is more open. The energy exchanges solidify as opposed to separate. Once you realize that you can reevaluate, you will have a better relationship, any relationship you have. Because then the other person can respect the fact that the two of you are both part of something you want to be part of. Nobody has to say, nothing's wrong, when they're sitting on a bomb. And the other person knows it, but they're just happy you're not talking about it yet. And they think maybe they can fix it in their own way along the way. Because when people know each other, they know when something isn't okay. But we forget again and again and again that we have rights, emotional rights. If we're not happy, we're not good for anybody. Because we're not good for ourselves. If we allow ourselves to stay unhappy for long periods of time without thinking of a solution for our lives, that says a lot about us. Because if we can't take care of ourselves in that way, we have no chance. I don't care how much we slave ourselves for someone else or for a company or for our kids, of having a bonding relationship. Because we didn't bond with ourselves. Understanding that the fork in the road option is there for all of us. Understanding that takes us to an entirely new level. It takes your mind to a place that feels like you've got your back. I never even, before I saw Christ, ever thought about a fork in the road. It never even occurred to me that I had choices like that. Telling someone, telling your partner, hey, you know what? I have noticed that me spending so much time over here has, you know, made my work suffer. I would like to continue to spend as much time as I can, but I think that I need to, you know, book more, you know, appointments, but I need to drive to these places. I need to go to companies and get business. There's no way I can do that from here. And I keep trying to come here and spend my time, but you leave and go to work, and I'm actually not working to be here. But I didn't realize because I got so caught up and so excited with us first meeting. Would you mind if you drove, you know, to my place, you know, maybe one day and I come to yours another? Because that way, then we both kind of have skin in the game here. But I can't just come and stay. I'm not making enough money. I'm not selling my products. I'm not offering my work. Oh, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, I don't want you to not make enough money, and I don't want you to worry about your bills or your lifestyle. I know you don't have kids, you don't have this, you don't have that, but I get it. Or someone might say, well, why don't you just do this and that and kind of put a bigger load on you so that they can still get what they want from you. And then you say, you know what, that doesn't work for me yet. Let me try this, and then let me see how this works out, and then I'll reassess. Or let's say you're in a marriage and you want to go back to school. Or let's say you don't have children yet. One of you does want them and the other doesn't. How do you resolve that? So you say, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to us meeting. I know at that time you thought about it, but now it sounds like you had to change your heart. You know why, and they may tell you why, and they may say, you know, we realized that once started really getting into the fact that we wanted to, you know, be married and have a child, expenses are so high, I don't know if both of our jobs can actually afford a child. There's so much to do with a child. Then you can say, yes, I understand, but it's gradual. Well, yeah, but, you know, our insurance isn't covered till this point, so now we have to pay this and we got to buy all these things. Well, that's going to be normal in any situation. So maybe that person just has anxiety about it. Maybe the two of you can go back to the fork in the road and save some money for that as your goal. It gives you a purpose. It gives you a reason. It makes you happy. It makes you feel like you can achieve things. And to have faith that for whatever you have, you will find a way to provide. We always do. If there's one thing about us as human beings, we are resilient. We are resilient. We don't stop. There's no way, even in our sleep, going down, our brain is so efficient, it cleans itself up. It starts picking out, okay, this happened today, this happened today, this happened today, and without you even doing anything, it's actually when you stop thinking is when you get the clearest answers. That's why people try to meditate. And some people are really good at meditating. For me, when I write, it's like meditating. For other people, when they sit quiet. For others, it's when they hear music. For others, it's when they go on a walk. But giving yourself that space to let your mind do what it does best, to think and to grow and to understand that you're thinking and growing, giving yourself options, giving yourself a way to come back and try really hard to allow yourself the space that you need to continue growing. Never putting anything in stone to yourself, like, well, I have to do this, I don't have a choice, and I can't do what I really need to do or love to do or want to do. You know how many times in this work I go back to the fork in the road? How many times I get the bejeebies scared out of me in so many ways? But at the same time, I love it so much that I just say, one more day. Let me do this one more day. Today, I'm okay. I'm safe. I can still buy food. I can do this. I can do that. Instead of looking at the whole laundry list of what I can't do. Last week, when I went to that all-day seminar, and I've been studying ever since because I know that that's what I asked for just 2 days before. Since then, I kept saying, I need an admin. I need somebody, somebody. And so desperately, to the point where I had to really, I was looking, but I obviously needed someone local and someone who had time and somebody who was okay already financially so that if they volunteered, I would give them back. I would grow them in the ways I know how. And yesterday, I had a lunch with someone, and she's starting next Thursday. I'll get her one day a week, but I'm already making a list of everything I need from her to work on, and in return, there were things she needed that I will do. She's my age. She's bright. She's beautiful. Her kids are a little bit younger than mine. She's in a great position. Perfect. How did I find her? She heard about me, about the summit, but she didn't go to the summit. But she heard about it. She wanted to go. She thought it was too much at $1,000. I said, it probably was, but it's because we had to do it so small. But when we do it bigger, we can drop the price. So I'm sorry that you missed it for that reason. And she said, but your name stayed in my mind. And I was doing dishes, and it was like a voice told me to go look you up and see who this person is, that Christina, the lady in the summit who told her about it, who this person was. When she wrote me and told me that, I knew that I had to meet her. And sure enough, I have an admin, you guys. We will start next Thursday. And she said, what am I going to do? And I said, I'm going to go home and make a list now, so I'll let you know. And that's how that happened. The faith high, keep your options open. You can always go back to the fork in the road and just put a light on the road you're on. You guys, I love you so very much. I will see you tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia.